ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 5 टेक्स्ट 38 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड प्रहलाद द सेंटली सन ऑफ हिरण्यकशिपु।
सर्वे रूपायर्हन्तव्य सम्भोज शयनासने सुरीलिङ्गधर शत्रु मुनेर्दुष्टम् इवेन्द्रियम्। सर्व ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। Translation: Just as uncontrolled senses are the enemies of all yogis engaged in advancing in spiritual life, this Prahlad, who appears to be a friend, is an enemy because I cannot control him. Therefore, this enemy, whether eating, sitting, or sleeping, must be killed by all means. Purport: Hiranyakashipu planned a campaign to kill Prahlad Maharaj. He would kill his son by administering poison to him while he was eating, by making him sit in a boiling oil, or by throwing him under the feet of an elephant while he was lying down. Thus, Hiranyakashipu decided to kill his innocent child, who was only 5 years old, simply because the boy had become a devotee of the Lord. This is the attitude of non-devotees towards the devotees. Hare Krishna. So, we are continuing with this episode of Prahlad Maharaj and his consistency in pursuing devotional service, and how he is meeting with the opposition from his very own father, Hiranyakashipu. We find that in the history, there has never been any instance where somebody who is very sincerely pursuing devotional service not met an opposition. Srila Prabhupada many times said that if at all you met opposition when you are pursuing devotional service, that means you are pursuing the right path. Because there is always going to be some obstruction in your devotional progress. And here we find that how Srila Prahlad was so consistent in his devotional practices that nothing could waver him from that particular goal. Hiranyakashipu, to whom all the demigods would also be scared, but same Hiranyakashipu, to that same person, his own son Prahlad, who was only 5 years old, was not at all scared of Hiranya, his father. And this really perturbed him so much that he is now ready to take such a drastic step that he is ready to kill him by any means. And here Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that Hiranyakashipu is now going to torture him by either administering him poison or just putting him in boiling oil, hot boiling oil, throwing him from a mountain or being crushed under the elephant. No father can do this for his son. However bad the child may be, but for a mother and father, the child is a child. The child may be a rogue, but still in the mother's eyes, the person is a very sweet child. Even the father may be very strict in many instances, but the heart is always soft. He may say something verbally, probably he may physically abuse him, but still there is always an element of love within. The father always repents, why is he done this? But here you find that Hiranyakashipu is ready to torture to death his own 5-year-old son. Why? Because it was interfering with his senses. He wanted his son to to become like him. And instead of that, the son was trying to worship Lord Vishnu, who actually was his enemy. Hiranyakashipu was thinking, how is it possible that Prahlad can do like this? And Srila Prabhupada here mentions very nicely. He said, Hiranyakashipu decided to kill his innocent child simply because the boy had become a devotee of the Lord. And this is the attitude of non-devotees towards the devotees. Srila Prabhupada mentions in very various aspects, various pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that how the devotee is always put into difficulties. And one can see through different lights as to why the devotees are really put into such difficulties. Like one aspect we can see that a devotee is put into difficulty because the Lord actually wants to purify the devotees from all the sins. For a materialistic person, the person, according to his karmic actions, he gets a reaction and that's all. But when a devotee starts or surrenders or decides to take shelter of the Lord, the person is put into difficulty. Maybe the Lord wants to purify him of all the sinful actions. That's one aspect to look at it. The second aspect to look at it is that how, when the devotee is put into some difficulty, maybe the Lord wants to teach a lesson to someone, to others. Prabhupada gives a very nice example that supposing if a daughter-in-law has come to the house and the mother-in-law is very sensitive about it, that she wants to instruct her daughter-in-law something about the household affairs, but because she is very sensitive and she wants not to hurt the daughter-in-law, what she does is that she just instructs the daughter-in-law through the daughter. She chastises the daughter or she tells the daughter something which is not right. And by observing this, the daughter-in-law understands that this is what my mother-in-law expects from me and I will not be doing this and I will be doing this and that. So sometimes the Lord may put a devotee into difficulty just to teach others a lesson. For instance, how Arjun was put into such bewildering condition. Arjun was completely expert in both military as well as spiritual knowledge. He knew everything. But Krishna put Arjun into such a situation to teach all of us. And he gave this Bhagavad Gita through the medium of his dear devotee Arjun by instructing him. The third aspect which you can understand is that a devotee is put into a situation to make him serious about his spiritual life. Many times a person may take shelter, he becomes serious, and after some time, he just somehow becomes very lax in his devotional service. And when he becomes lax in his devotional service, the Lord makes some arrangement by which he shakes him up. He shakes him up from this slumber and then makes him serious about his own. Like we can see the example of Ajamil. That how Ajamil was a devoted boy, but then ultimately he just, when he grew up, he just got into wrong habits, married a prostitute, entered all sinful activities, engaged in those. And then afterwards, we find that Lord had to really arrange a situation and then gave him a second chance. Then, sometimes the Lord puts into a devotee into difficulty so that he wants to uplift that person. Just like giving him tests, so he can overcome that and then is ready to face something higher. Just like a child in a school, he is been asked to appear for an exam in a particular standard, and then once he passes, he goes to the higher standards. This is one aspect to look at. And the fifth reason or the aspect we can look at it is, the Lord sometimes would like to glorify his devotees. That's why the Lord puts the devotees into difficult situations. He likes to glorify his devotees. Just like a gold which is put in fire starts shining once all the impurities go off. So similarly, the Lord wants to glorify his pure devotees. And because he wants to glorify his pure devotees, he puts them into much trials and tribulations. And through that, the devotee comes out shining. And this is the example of Prahlad Maharaj actually. How Prahlad Maharaj, he was a devotee right from the womb. He was already a pure devotee soul from that time onwards. Whether you put him in this situation or that situation, any worse situation, one thing was sure that he will never deviate from devotional path. And Lord wanted to show that how great Prahlad is. And the exhibition of tolerance and utter dependence on the Lord is over here in these pages. Srila Prabhupada mentions that Prahlad Maharaj exhibited the quality of tolerance and exhibited quality of full dependence on Krishna. Rakshishiti iti vishwaso. He had full faith that Krishna is going to protect him under all circumstances. We cannot imagine 5-year-old boy put in boiling hot. He never resisted also. Probably we may say Krishna will protect. But are we really, supposing if we are put in boiling hot oil, we will at least resist. Maybe whether Krishna is going to protect or not. Or maybe if we are being forced to jump from the mountain, seeing down also, probably sometimes you may feel, maybe will Krishna protect me? But Prahlad in all these circumstances was very cool. Because he knew that Krishna is going to protect him. He had full faith in dependence on the Lord's protection and the exhibition of tolerance. And the sixth aspect which you see, and Srila Prabhupada mentions before this particular episode started, that sometimes the Lord himself, puts his devotees into difficulty because that's his desire. You cannot question his desire. It's his desire. As simple as that. Like the instance of Jay and Vijay. They were the doorkeepers. What reason did the doorkeeper Jay and Vijay have anything to just insult the four Kumaras? They are in such an environment that they are actually doorkeepers of Lord Vishnu. How can anything contaminate their mind? But somehow the other, Prabhupada mentions that the expert stalwarts are mentioning like that. Prabhupada gives in a purport like this. He's quoting that the expert stalwarts are saying that the Lord had a desire to fight. Now, he cannot fight in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, all are devotees. How can he fight there in the spiritual world? So, he had to come down in the material world and fight. Because that propensity to fight is there in the Lord. And that's why we also have this. Lord also wants to fight. But whom he can fight with? So, he has to fight with his devotees. So that's why the Lord made such an arrangement by which Jay and Vijay were being cursed by the four Kumaras and were forced to take birth as demons, and the Lord enjoyed the fight. As Varahadevi enjoyed a fight with Hiranyaksha, and now after a few days we'll see how he enjoys a fight with Hiranyakashipu. So it is Lord's desire. You cannot question, right? It's his independence. Once His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was walking by the DT kitchen, and he just walked into the DT kitchen, and one of the Matajis were cooking something. He said, "What are you cooking?" So she said, "I'm making pakodas. I think pakodas or butter or something like that." So he asked her that, "How you are making it?" So she said, "First I clean the potatoes, then I boil the potatoes. After I boil, I remove the skin, then I mash the potatoes, then I put all the other ingredients, then make it into roll, and then dip it in a chickpea flour paste, and then put it in boiling hot oil and you deep fry it." So he gave a very nice purport to that. He said, a devotee also has to undergo all these things. He has to be clean. After some time he is boiled. That means, interactions with fellow devotees. You are boiled. In Hindi we say pakate. Boiled, then mashed, and some other you are deep fried. And after you are deep fried, then you are ready for offering to Krishna. So you are saying, then that thing becomes so relishable that the Lord accepts that offering, and the Lord is very pleased with the offering. So he says that a devotee has to undergo all this. It cannot be a cakewalk entry into the spiritual world. Everyone has to undergo so many trials and tribulations, and then ultimately he has to be worthy of entering into the spiritual world. That means he has to be completely purified of all the anarthas, all the deficiencies, and become completely purified, and then only he can be offered nicely, and that will be relishable by the Lord. So this is how the purport was given. Very nice thing to meditate upon this. I just wanted to just highlight on this particular aspect, that how is the attitude of non-devotees towards the devotees? That when somebody wants to become very serious, then how the non-devotees act towards the devotees? And I have four examples which I would like to share with all of you. Number one is the life of Haridas Thakur from the scriptures. Srila Haridas Thakur was born in a Mohammedan family. He was a Muslim by birth. And by association with Advaita Acharya, he understood the glories of chanting the holy names. And in the place called as Fulia, he was intensely taking shelter of the holy names of the Lord. And seeing his intense devotion, the Brahmanas were very happy with him. But the Qazi, the local Qazi, became envious. That how is it that this person is actually, being a Muslim, is taking the names of the Lord, a Hindu Lord. So the matter reached the Mohammedan king. And the king called upon Haridas Thakur and he said, why are you chanting the holy names? So Haridas Thakur gave a reason that he's the same Lord whom we all are worshipping. And I'm attracted to this name, and that's why I love to chant this. So the Mohammedan king cautioned him. He said, please stop chanting. If you stop chanting, then we don't do any harm to you, or else we'll have to punish you. Haridas Thakur said, even if you cut my body into thousands of pieces, each of those pieces will chant the holy name. And this irritated the king, and he ordered Haridas Thakur to be beaten in 22 marketplaces. We can't imagine. It is said that when the executioners would do that to anyone else, they would not survive beyond one or two marketplaces. That means they would be finished. Haridas Thakur was ready to be beaten in 22 marketplaces. He exhibited that quality of tolerance and dependence upon the Lord, as we see here how Prahlad Maharaj did that. And all throughout he was only praying to the Lord, basically. Praying to the Lord that please forgive them. Throughout the 22 marketplaces, he was beaten, but nothing happened to him because the Lord was protecting all throughout. And the executioners then started becoming scared that what will happen to us? If he is not killed, that means we will be killed. The seeing the compassion, seeing the state of the executioners, Haridas Thakur pretended that he is dead. And then ultimately, they decided what to do with this body. The local Qazi thought that if you bury him, then probably he'll reach higher destination. He did not want that to happen. He said he should be thrown into the Ganges. So he was thrown into Ganges. Some other he swam across and came back again to Fulia and started chanting. And seeing all this, the local Hindus became very happy. And Mohammedan king understood that this person is no ordinary soul. He is a special person, great prophet. And then he declared that, no, Haridas Thakur should be, allowed to chant, and there should not be any obstruction in anyone chanting the holy names of the Lord. So here we find that how this Qazi was so determined to obstruct the effort of Haridas Thakur in chanting the holy names of the Lord, and still that nothing could happen to him. He had received complete protection of the Lord. Then you find in the case of Srivas Thakur, every day Lord Chaitanya and his close associates would have kirtan in his house, and they would dance all night long. And some people who wanted to enter into would not be allowed because they were not pure enough, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not feel them to be qualified to be there. And closed doors they would sing the glories of the holy name, and that would happen for many, many days. And there was one envious soul, Gopala Chapala, and he was a great devotee of Kali. And he thought that I will somehow or other like to defame Shivas Thakur. And one day in the middle of the night, just outside his mandap, that is courtyard, he just put all the paraphernalia which was required for worship of goddess Kali, like wine and reddish powder, sandalwood paste, and all sorts of things which are in the mode of ignorance. He kept them in the night, and so that when the people come in the morning, they'll see that, oh, this person, he is a pretender. He is doing something else in the night and he worships, say, Durga, Bhavani, outside. So when Shivas Pandit opened the door, he found what has happened. Actually, we cannot imagine, you know, when what sort of a thing or what sort of a reaction somebody would get at that time. Like when somebody would see that something like that, the news would spread that, oh yeah, he's a devotee of so and so. When Shivas Thakur opened the door and he found that all this paraphernalia lying in front of him, he did not get perturbed. He started laughing. And he called all the sajjanas, the brahmana sajjanas. And he said, see, look, I am a worshipper of goddess Bhavani, and I do this every day. But the local brahmanas were not confused. They knew that Shivas Thakur was a genuine person, and they knew that this may be a work of someone else. And they immediately, they were upset the whole thing which has happened, and then immediately they called a sweeper and got the whole courtyard cleaned with cow dung and water. But through this incident, Gopala Chapal got a reaction. Sudden reaction. Within 3 days, he was contracting leprosy. The blood was oozing from his body. There were insects and worms eating away his flesh. And so much trouble he was undergoing. And during those days, leprosy means you cannot be staying in the village. You are like an outcast. You just go out of the village. You are like untouchable. So you had to go out of the village and then, you know, stay on the banks of the Ganges. And then he would be repenting. And one fine day he found Chaitanya Mahaprabhu walking by. He approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and pleading with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that you are an incarnation of the Lord. Please help me. According to the Vedic custom, I am supposed to be your uncle because I am from the same village as you. So please help me, relieve me of this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, you cannot. He said, for millions of lifetimes you will suffer like this because you have offended my devotee Shivas Thakur. He said, I will wish that you just go on suffering like this. And then he left away from that place. Ultimately, but Lord, when he took sannyas, he came back to Kulia Gram, and there he just forgave all the offenses of many such people like Gopala Chapala and Devanand Pandit and so many others. So here is we find that how Gopala Chapala tried to destroy Shivas Thakur's image as a devotee, tried to tarnish his image, but he was protected from all this, and instead this person got the reaction. We find how in the case of Ramanucharya Sampradaya, Sri Sampradaya, this story of Kolatunga, the king. He was a great Shiva Bhakta, and somehow or the other he wanted to convert the whole village or the town into Shaivites. But he knew that as long as Sripad Ramanucharya is there, And till he becomes a Shiva Bhakta, nothing will happen. So his minister said that he should somehow or other get Ramanujacharya to a debate and then defeat him. And if he is defeated, then the whole, he will be asked, you should be forced to become a Shiva Bhakta. And the conspiracy was like this, that if he is defeated, then he should accept defeat and he should worship Shiva. And if he becomes a Shiva Bhakta, then entire community will become Shiva Bhakta. And otherwise, if we get defeated by Ramanujacharya, then he should be somehow or the other killed. That was a plot. The message was sent to Ramanujacharya to invite him. And Ramanujacharya, out of innocence, he was ready to go. But then Kuresh understood, his disciple, that something is going to be wrong. So Kuresh said, my dear Gurudev, you should not go. I will go in your place. He says, why? He says, I know the intention, because I know that there will be danger in your life. So you please give me your saffron robes and take my white dress and just rush, go away from this place. Because if they notice you, then probably they will kill you. And Kuresh took on that saffron and he and Mahapurna went to the palace of Kulatunga. And there was a debate and a defeat. In this debate, Kulatunga's side was completely defeated. They smashed. And this angered the king so much that he ordered that these people should be killed. But somehow they remembered that when he was small, his sister was saved. She was haunted and by a ghost. And Sripad Ramanujacharya had saved her sister from that. And this he remembered. But that was long time back. And he had not remembered the face also, how does Ramanujacharya looks like. So nobody could make out that he was not Ramanujacharya, he was Kuresh. Some other, he gave a lesser punishment. He said, just take him to the forest and then pluck out his eyes and let him suffer. And this was done to Kuresh and Mahapurna. Mahapurna, some other, could not survive. He left his body. Kuresh went further away. And then ultimately, after many years, after 12 years, Ramanujacharya met Kuresh again. All this while, Sripad Ramanujacharya was in Melikote. He established Yadavadripati over there. And then so many preaching activities were taking place. But after 12 years, he met Kuresh again back in Sri Rangam. And there, he told Kuresh that you go and pray to Vardaraj to give back your eyes. During this time, Kulatunga got severe, he became mad, insane, and he left his body. Means that was a reaction that he actually got for the atrocities that he had performed. And then, but then when he was told to ask the benediction of Vardaraj, first he asked benediction for for the king, then for the minister. And ultimately when Ramanujacharya was very upset with him, he says, this is my property. Your body is my property. I am telling you, you go and ask for your eyes. And that's when he goes and asks for his eyes. But here you find that how the devotee, even though being mercilessly treated also, he's also so compassionate, kind-hearted, that he is actually trying to see the welfare of someone who has actually done harm to him, like a devotee Kuresh. We find later on in Prahlad Maharaj's instance also, how when Narsingdev asks Prahlad benediction, he first asks that let my father be relieved from all the sins. Very nice, glaring instance we receive or we hear is in a life of our own founder Acharya's, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, in obtaining the Jew temple, Jew land actually. Like Prabhupada never fought like a Kshatriya anywhere as he had done for this land. And as I was reading yesterday through Prabhupada Lilamrit, in fact I read after almost about 15 years. The first time I read was almost 15 years back. But the whole episode when I read, I was just thinking that, you know, what sort of a fight that Srila Prabhupada actually gave. And what sort of a person was Mr. N? Who really was a demon, basically, from the Kali Yuga point of view. But little did he realize that he was actually confronting one pure devotee of the Lord who had completely taken shelter of Radha Ras Bihari, Radha Krishna. He did not realize that. He was actually playing with fire. Mr. N, it is said in the pages of Shri Prabhupada Lilamrit, that how this Mr. N, everyone knows who is Mr. N, famous personality. Prabhupada actually once mentioned, everyone will go back to God except Mr. N, you know. Yes. So envious. Prabhupada was actually so envious of him. Means he was saying that so much he was against him. That he wanted to give this land. Prabhupada wanted that land even when, you know, before he went to Calcutta. He was at Sumati Muraji's office asking for a passage ticket to the west. And then he had an eye on this land, Hare Krishna land. And when he came here back with his disciples, he was in Bombay. He remembered this. And every time he would come to this place, he would remember and he had a desire that he should have this one place here and establish a wonderful temple here. And the disciples would not really understand why Srila Prabhupada wants to establish a temple somewhere far off from the city. They are telling Prabhupada, why don't you just stay somewhere here in the cities? Because Prabhupada is staying here at a Breach Candy. And he said, why don't you just have a, you know, place, look at a place somewhere in the city. Why don't you just, God forsaken place somewhere far off, who will come there from all points of view, you know. But Prabhupada was bent on having a land there. And somehow or the other, he found his 5 acres land belonging to Mr. N. And on a particular day in November 1971, he just had an agreement that he will purchase the land for 14 lakh. Can you just imagine at that time 14 lakhs in 1971? It's quite a huge amount. But Prabhupada was ready to buy that land for 14 lakhs. And the agreement was that 2 lakhs down payment and 12 lakhs over a period of time in installments. And even that also he got some compromise done. That 2 lakhs down payment means 50,000 first. Then as soon as you pay the 50,000, we'll enter the land, means we'll occupy the land. And then when you pay 1 lakh, then we'll sign the deed. That was the agreement. And Nair agreed to that particular proposal. And came out from mouth. Agreed to the proposal. And it says that there's so much of problems. Because the same land was given to another company. And this company was told that it is not meeting some clauses. And they wanted to terminate the agreement. And somehow or the other, they are fighting a legal battle over there in the court. And they were losing that battle. That means he actually robbed them of that money. And Mr. N was thinking that he will do the same thing for Prabhupada. And so many instances, you know, instances happening that where the payment is done, but one after another, so many obstacles coming up. And he was not giving the deed or signing the deed at all. And Prabhupada is different places, just constantly thinking about what's going to happen, what is happening over here. At this place, you know, Madhudvish Prabhu, that time Swami, he resigned to the fact that he cannot handle this. Brahmanand Maharaj, he could not handle. No one could handle this. Until but Giriraj Maharaj was made, somehow or the other, you know, he was also not in a position. Because when the deed was actually to be signed, information was given to them that 5 lakhs sales tax is supposed to be paid. And he said, you should pay this and it will be deducted from the final amount. And Giriraj Maharaj said, we didn't have money. Nor that any bank can give this money. And after doing all these things, there's so many obstacles. Another obstacle came that you should have taken permission from charity commissioner before. And then when Giriraj Maharaj went to the charity commissioner's office, he said, no, you should have taken the permission charity commissioner from 6 months before you obtained the land. Or done the agreement. So many obstacles were coming one after another. But Prabhupada was all the time constantly in touch with them and asking, what's happening? But he was confident that we are stronger, our position is stronger. He employed a lawyer, and ultimately the lawyer turned out to be a rogue. He was hand in hand in gloves with Mr. N. And some or the other, a stage came where Prabhupada had to directly confront with Mr. N. And what dialogues. Like, you know, Prabhupada saying, either you give me back my money or else you give me this land. No, that was how it was. Mr. N started accusing Prabhupada that you people are all in this land, occupying the land illegally, and you're all causing so much of noise, getting in the morning at 4 o'clock and this and that and everything, you know. Prabhupada said, just give the money now. Just give by tomorrow. Then he said, no, tomorrow night, tonight. He said, just now. We'll vacate the land. Give us the money. Give us this 2 lakhs back. Because Mr. N was not at all ready to give that 2 lakhs. And he just went in such a huff. After a few days, Mr. N had a heart attack and he left his body. But later on, the crusade was carried forward by his wife. Mrs. N started very, very diligently, you know, action campaign against the devotees. Very, very nice. I just want to read for my purification that how things went in like this, that 18. See, demolition squad, they entered this place and the devotees tried to stop the demolition. But the policeman soon appeared on the scene and working in pairs would grab the dissenters by the legs and arms and carry them away. Police dragged the women away by the hair. Can you imagine? The devotees were done like this. While tenants on the land looked on. Some were glad to see the demolition, although others were sympathetic. Out of fear of the police, however, no one moved to help the devotees. And this was what happened. Then some or the other, you know, like one devotee ran and called Mahadeviya. And who ended with his friend Vinod Gupta rushed to Hare Krishna land. Mahadeva rushed to the house of a sympathetic tenant and phoned his brother Chandra Mahadeviya, a wealthy businessman and a friend of Bal Thackeray. Because Bal Thackeray is written Bal Thackeray, a leader of one of the most influential political parties in India. Mahadeva informed Bal Thackeray of the emergency at the instigation of a Hindu, and under the order of a Hindu municipal officer, a Hindu temple of Lord Vishnu was demolished. Mr. Thackeray in turn informed the municipal commissioner, who denied knowing of any order to demolish the temple. The ward office sent a man to stop the demolition. The officer came around 2 p.m. just as the demolition squad had cut through the last pillars and were about to dismantle the roof above the DTs. The order to stop the demolition was given to the ward officer in charge, who then stopped the demolition squad. And Prabhupada was in Calcutta at that time. And they called him up. And he told them that you organize the local sympathizers as life members and protest the attack by mass publicity. They should expose the persons responsible. And this would be very effective against Mrs. N and her party. But some other, the newspaper was saying, unauthorized temple demolished by municipal authorities. But the devotees contracted bad publicity. Many people like Sada Jivatlal, Vinod Gupta, all, they joined Kartikeya Mahadeva and they formed to save the temple committee. They formed a committee to save the temple. And this way, as Giriraj Maharaj met with and elicited support of government officials, many of Bombay's leading citizens began to show sympathy and offer assistance. Thus, the plan of Mrs. N and her lawyers backfired. And although they had been thinking they were dealing with only a mere handful of young foreigners, they soon found themselves facing many of Bombay's most influential citizens, actually. And this is what happened with them. No? And then ultimately, it so happened that Mrs. N had to agree. And in the year 1972, in November, September, November, Prabhupada just, Mrs. N, there was constant thing going on. And Giriraj Maharaj called Prabhupada, please come here and, you know, just conclude this agreement. And at midnight, you know, Prabhupada was giving a talk and came back. And she burst into tears and bowed at Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, I'm very sorry for everything. Please forgive me. Prabhupada looked at her compassionately and said, you are just like my daughter. Don't worry, I will take care of you. I will see to you of all your needs for the rest of your life. And Prabhupada said, he still accepted the very terms she had proposed, that he will pay the remaining balance of 12 lakhs plus 50,000 rupees compensation for the delay. So he paid 50,000 rupees as, and they set November 1 as a deadline for the final signing of the conveyance. And after the thing was signed, Satsur Maharaj writing that it was as if like the great two world powers were signing a pact. It was such a tense environment, you know, signing papers. Signing papers went on for 20 minutes. And then it says, Prabhupada informed, asked the devotees to inform the newspapers. He invited everyone for a feast. The mats were rolled out in two lines. Devotees brought leaflets and placed them in front of everyone. And Prabhupada was standing there. He says, let us start. And he supervised the serving. The devotees have prepared so many things, rice, dal, pakoda, sabjis, burfis, laddus, chamcham, everything, so many things. And devotees are all saying jai after the signing, and all of them were very happy. And of all these things, Prabhupada just rested and said, it was a good fight. And he got this land, the Hare Krishna land, you know. Similarly, same thing happened like this in Mayapur. Mayapur, you know, one fine day, Prabhupada receives a call from Gopal Krishna Maharaj that some people, Muslims, have attacked Mayapur and Bhavanand Maharaj has been jailed. And Prabhupada wanted to know the details, what has happened. And then the detail was given that some 50 people had entered and they were wanting to take the crops. And some of the they were resisting. Soon 250 villagers, they came and they started attacking. And one devotee, Nitai Chand, was attacked at three places on his head. And they were stripped one of the ladies naked, almost, you know. And Bhavanand Maharaj just wanted to scare them. That's why he just pulled up the trigger. But some other, they were not going. And so that's why he just, you know, aimed at the people. And then he injured two people. And then they were tricked into going to the jail, going to the police station to complain. And in the period, they were jailed. And Bhavanand Maharaj was jailed at that time. And the newspaper headline said that such and such a thing, this person is, and so was not there. The founder Acharya of this movement was not available at that time. And when Prabhupada read the newspaper, he said, these people wanted to arrest me. Some other, I was here, he was some other place. And then ultimately he had tears in his eyes. And he said, because they are surrendering everything for Krishna, they are doing everything for Krishna, Krishna will protect them. Krishna will definitely protect them. And this paved the way for the deity of Narasingh Dev to come. Because Prabhupada said, you should install Lord Narasingh Dev in this place. But Prabhupada just made that statement. Nobody knew how, what, which form, what form. Bhavanand Maharaj got a dream one day. And he said that he saw the form of Narasingh Dev. That the form of Narasingh Dev is coming out of the pillar and is looking around here and there. He's on his toes. And he's looking around here and there. Where is that Hiranyakashipu? You know, like that. That form. Bhavanand Maharaj got this in a dream. And then suddenly he just, you know, he woke up. He called the devotees and he said, he made them paint the form of, or draw the form of Lord Narasingh Dev. And he said, this is the form which you want for our temple here in Mayapur. And ultimately, a long history that how, you know, Atma Tattva Prabhu had to go to south and get this deity. Ultimately, the deity came to Shridham Mayapur. That's why this form of Maya, Lord Narasingh Dev, is the only form in the entire creation where you find that the Lord is on his toes, he's just in an angry mood, trying to pounce upon the humans. And ever since, nothing has happened much. So, Lord Narasingh Dev appeared over there. So we will find now in this further pages in the Srimad Bhagavatam, because of the atrocities performed by Hiranyakashipu to Prahlad Maharaj, ultimately Lord is going to come out of the pillar and he is going to tear apart Hiranyakashipu on 18th of May 2008. Hare Krishna. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.